Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're here with us this evening, this Sunday, May 3rd, 2026. You know, they say April showers bring May flowers, but I haven't seen the Mayflower. Weren't there a couple of other ships with the Mayflower?
Yes, I believe there were.
Oh, my goodness. Ed, it's good to have you back. You had a nice little vacation, I guess, or time away.
We went to sunny Southern California.
Nice. Yeah, so the weather wasn't as warm as you expected.
Huh? No, on the coast, it was about 65 to maybe 70, 71
nice.
Some days.
Okay, yeah, I prefer a little warmer than that personally. Yeah. But, you know, we want to welcome everybody here and here to New Visions Radio each week, 7 p.m. on Sunday. You can find us here. Last week, Ray kind of helped us out a little bit, and we really appreciate that very much. And let's see, as far as some of the things that we like to talk about here, we like to tell people a little bit about our ministry here, Prophecies of Hope. What can you tell us, Ed?
Well, we've been here at this location since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us this property that we have. He literally gave it to us.
Yes.
And so we're very thankful for that. And we're just a small little ministry, just consists of a few people. We have a Wednesday night Bible study / prayer time, which is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's available via Zoom. And we have our church services on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. And we have a Bible study called Sabbath School at 9:30, which is live streamed, mm-hmm. as well as available via Zoom. And we have our worship hour at 11, which is live streamed.
Yeah, and during that worship service, we sing a hymn, have some prayer time, and, mm-hmm. and a sermon. And we would love for you to join us. If you're ever in this area, we're at 1743 West Beverly Street.
Yeah, and let us know you're coming. We'll have a meal for you.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would really be nice. We've had people pop in on us in the past.
Yeah.
And
literally.
Yeah.
Like from Greece, all of a sudden there's somebody on the porch.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think we've mentioned that before, but I think that is so neat. That somebody that far away was listening to this little broadcast. So, as far as your studies, if you would like to have a Bible, email us, Ed. If somebody wants to contact you, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can simply email office@prophecyhope.com with any Bible questions. We may or may not be able to find the answer. Sometimes people ask questions that aren't there. But if you do, we'll tell you we can't find that in the Bible.
Sure.
And also, if you would like a copy of the Bible, we have some really nice Bibles. We're happy to send one to you, a King James or a New King James Version. Just let us know, and we'd like to get a hard copy in your hand. Also, as we do this Bible study each week, we want to recommend and suggest that you open your copy. If you have a copy of the Bible, whatever the translation is, open it up and read the words with us. It's really important that we see those words, because hearing something helps. When you hear it and see it, it makes a big difference in how we retain things. And also, you can make sure that we're reading it right. Make sure that it says what we're reading.
Right.
Because just even recently, I was reading a text and I skipped a word, not intentionally. It's just my eyes, it didn't register. And it completely changed the meaning of the text. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back and reread it. So this is why it's important, friends, for you to open your Bible, read along with us. Take time during the week to open your Bible and just find a verse or two. Open up to the Gospels and just start reading a little bit. And it's just something that we highly recommend, because can the Bible make a difference in your life, Ed?
Sure.
Did it change your life?
Yeah. What about the change?
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
So we've been studying in the book of Matthew, so after a word of prayer, we'll pick up here in Matthew. Ed, you want to pray for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible. And Father, as we read the account of the life of Jesus on this earth, may you give us understanding of what he experienced, what his mission was on this earth, and his faithfulness to you. And Father, as we read these things, give us wisdom and understanding to not only be able to understand what the Bible is saying, but to apply these things to our lives. And Father, we ask that you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, here in Matthew, I think we left off, we were in chapter 12.
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, I think we were going to start verse 15, but I think if we start with verse 14, it will give us a little context. And let's go ahead and read verses 14 through 21. And this is going to be the modern King James. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him as how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and great crowds followed him, and he healed all of them. And he warned them that they not make him known, so that it might fulfill which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my child, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he shall declare judgment to the nations. He shall not strive, nor cry, nor shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoking wick until he sends out judgment to victory. And his name, the nations, and in his name, the nations shall trust. So this is the account of Jesus' work on this earth. You notice verse 15, and great crowds followed him, and he healed them all.
Yes. All of them must have had infirmities of some sort.
The power of God working through Christ to do things that no one had ever seen before.
Right.
To heal people, to give sight to the blind, the dumb talking, the crippled walking.
Yeah.
You know,
causing the deaf people to hear, yeah. Right? All of these things. There were so many miracles that he did. In fact, when I think about how it says he healed them all, you know, all of us today, Ed, even if we feel really good, we all have a problem, and that problem is sin.
Yes.
We need healing from sin. And Jesus is the only one that can provide that.
Well, if you look at verse 18, it says, Behold my child. This is God speaking about his son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he shall declare judgment to the nations.
Okay. Mine says justice to the Gentiles.
Okay.
Gentiles is anybody who is not a Jew.
Right.
So, you know, this is a quote from the Old Testament.
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 42. Is that right? Isaiah 42?
Yes, verses 1 through 7.
And do you have that there?
Yeah, this is, again, going to be the modern King James. It says, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him, and he shall bring out judgment to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking wick he shall not quench. He shall bring out judgment to truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set judgment in the earth, and the coast shall wait for his law. So says Jehovah God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, spreading out the earth and its offspring, he who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. So this was the work that God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to do. God put his spirit on him to direct him, to give him words to say, to give him power to heal people, for all these miracles that were done through Christ.
Yes.
And so this is the work of Jesus Christ, which also included preaching the gospel.
Absolutely.
Preaching the way of God, preaching the law of God,
mm-hmm.
which is not a popular message today, we're finding out.
No, it's not popular at all. I was just telling you about a series of sermons I've been giving, and whenever I talk about the law, it seems like the numbers are down. People don't, they're not interested in
terms of viewing them.
Yeah, in terms of views. So also, you know, when God sent his son to show us what he would do for us, when Jesus was healing these people, I don't think that people often think about this was just a local thing. It was happening all around Jesus. Wherever he was doing these things. But this is what he's going to do on a universal scale.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be done for everyone who follows Christ, will have all of these ailments healed, not just now, not just by being around him like these people, but forever. This is something that he promises, eternal life. This is why God sent his son, to give us eternal life, not in a sinful world, but in a new world.
You know, it reminds me of Revelation chapter 21.
Hmm.
And let me just start in verse 1 and maybe read through verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, talking about John, the apostle of Christ, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying out, nor will there be any more pain, for the first things passed away. And he sitting on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who thirsts, I will give a fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Mm. That's such a beautiful thing. All things will be made new. And this isn't just a New Testament idea, Ed. This is Jesus came to proclaim the gospel, which has been promised from the fall of Adam and Eve.
Right.
And so in Isaiah chapter 11, if you don't mind, I'd like to read some of this. It's a little bit of reading, but this is, again, this is a prophecy pointing to Jesus who would come and do the very things that he's doing here in Matthew. And it says here in Isaiah 11, There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. His delight is in the fear of Jehovah. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And then listen to this part, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play upon the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. That's amazing.
This was the plan from the beginning for
this
earth.
Yes. If Adam and Eve had been obedient, if they had simply not eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is the conditions we would be living in today. This is the situation. So God's plan for his people, for his earth, is it hasn't been thwarted. It's just been postponed. It's been Satan has hijacked this world, and Jesus came to purchase it back.
Right.
He came and paid the price to bring it back. This is the good news. This is what Jesus is telling people. This is why when they followed him and he was healing them, they were getting a sample of what it's going to be like. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being ailed with something? I'm sure we've all had something where maybe we were sick or we felt really bad. And then once you overcome it, it's, wow, how grateful I am.
How much better you feel.
To feel this good, So, and that takes time. But when Jesus heals us, you don't have to wait.
Right. You know, given my background as a therapist, I don't think most people have the understanding of what happens when, let's say, somebody's crippled from birth. Like the story of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, through the power in the name of Jesus, this man who had been lame from birth is now all of a sudden walking and leaping in the air.
Made whole,
Not only did he regain function of his body, but what happens to your body over time if you don't have function, the muscles shrink. They get to the point of what we call atrophy, is that there's no function in them. You can't reverse that in today's world. Things tighten up, so you don't have normal motion. You have what you call contractures, where muscles and tendons and soft tissue tighten up, the point that you can't straighten out your knee, or can't straighten out the hip. Your foot is pointed downward. You can't bring it up into a normal position. And it just happens over time as the results of these disabilities that happen, these injuries that happen. And so to have a man healed instantly like that and have all these things fixed is tremendous.
Yeah, it is. It is. And this is not, we think about those things. We can benefit from this information now because the life that we live in obedience to God can prevent us from going down certain paths that will cause those problems.
Right.
Whether it be diabetes or the diet that we have, all of those things make a difference if we follow God's commands rather than men's.
You know, there are so many words that people don't like to hear. They don't like to hear the word the law.
Right.
They don't like to hear the word obedience. They don't like the word exercise.
Right.
They don't like temperance or self-control.
Patience, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but these all these things are so beneficial.
They are.
If we would just only do them.
They are beneficial. In fact, most of what you said there, Ed, comes from Galatians chapter 5. And this is the fruits of God's Spirit. And it's beautiful because it says here in 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We don't find that much today, it seems. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruitage of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is what is produced in us if we follow Jesus Christ. This will come naturally because he helps us to grow that fruitage.
Yeah. You know, in John 15, he talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You can't do anything without me.
Right.
And talked about that we need to be in Christ and Christ in us, and that we need to follow his word. And so the plan of salvation, the gospel, is really simplistic.
I just said that. You weren't here, Ed, but I said that this past Sabbath in a sermon. I said, obeying God, really, it's not difficult. It's the choices that we make it difficult. I have to choose. I have to make a choice. If something comes on, if I'm looking at a video on YouTube and something pops up and it looks appealing, but I say, well, that might be questionable, I can click on it or not.
Right.
What do I do with that?
And make choices.
I can make the choice.
Turn it off as well.
That's it. And it's interesting you should say that because that's exactly what I was talking about this past week. So all of these things, these people, they, what did it say in Matthew 11? Let's see, let me go back. Matthew 12 is where we were, not 11. Matthew 12, it was that verse that says...
We're in verse 18.
Yeah, but you had read... Oh, here it is. The key is verse 15. He withdrew from there, and it says, and great multitudes followed him.
Right.
Now, I think when we think of following somebody, we think of they're walking and we're following along. Mm-hmm. But how do I follow Christ today?
Well, first of all, the reason they followed Jesus is because he was providing them something that they needed.
Right.
You know, God provides us something we need through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's done because of his love that he has for us. Now, in terms of following God and his son, Jesus Christ, if we don't love them, we're not going to be able to follow them. If we don't appreciate the love that God has shown us and love him for those things he has done for us, these things are never going to be able to be accomplished in our lives. Mm-hmm. If it's not done out of gratitude and gratefulness and thankfulness and love for God and his son Jesus Christ for all they've done and are doing today.
Right. So following Christ is about changing.
Yes.
It's about allowing him to work in our heart. Have you ever heard somebody say, follow my lead? In other words, do what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, and if you're on a hike and the person that's leading the hike says, follow me, and you're on a dangerous trail, you're going to follow him closely.
Right.
We live in a dangerous world. We need to follow Christ closely. We need to be healed. Just like this says, he healed them all. So he didn't only heal all of the people, but he healed all of their ailments.
Right. And Jesus didn't come to this earth just to heal them physically.
Right.
But he wanted them to know his Father, to know the true character of God. Even today, God's character is maligned.
Oh, you know? More today probably than ever.
And, you know, Jesus came and spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak, to perform the miracles that he did through the power of God, that God gave him, to show people who his Father is, the character of God, of his Father, mm-hmm. his God.
Right.
And so through this, you know, God drew people to his son. Through these things, the words he gave his son to speak, the power he gave him to do miracles, it drew people to him. And that's the love of God. The love of God is meant to draw us to him.
Absolutely. And we see this love throughout the Bible. And unfortunately, like you said, so God's name has been trampled on. It's been maligned. And people will try to separate the Bible into two parts and say, mm-hmm. well, this God in the Old Testament, God was different. And in the New Testament, it's merciful. It's the same. It's exactly the same.
Same God, same commandments, same activity.
Nothing has changed. Yeah. The only thing that's changed is we don't have to go to the altar for sacrifices now. Now we need to be changed.
Right.
And the power that Christ gives us by dwelling in us rather than us going to a temple service.
You know, there's a text in the Bible where it says God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm.
What's your motivation?
Is it selfish?
Yeah. A cheerful giver, cheerful giver is giving because you want to. You want to make a difference. You want to help someone out.
Right.
And so when we follow God, we do it because we love him, because you're grateful for everything he's done for you in your life. And this idea that we can live life without paying attention to God and his laws is just deceitful.
Mm.
It's false. If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5 tells us this.
Yes, it does. So that's the thing. People don't like hearing commandments. They don't like being told what they can't do. We always look at the commandments, I think, from a human perspective as a restriction, but it's a protection.
It's a hedge of protection around you to keep you from from sin and experiencing the results of wrong choices on this earth today. Every choice we make has consequences.
It does.
And the Ten Commandments, the way of God, is meant to keep you from experiencing those consequences, from making the wrong choices.
Some of the consequences may not be immediate, but they will come eventually.
Right.
And, you know, I think we need to really think of God as, he's called our Heavenly Father. When we speak to him, we address him as our Father in heaven,
right,
our Heavenly Father. And he's a loving parent. He's a loving father. So he's not going to ask us to do anything that is not for our good, just like any loving parent is not going to get their children to do anything that is not good for them. And there are consequences if the children break the rules of your home. There was the house I grew up in. And if I broke those rules, which I may not have understood, I might have considered them restrictive. Looking back now as an adult, I say, now I understand why Mom and Dad made those rules for me. I can see it as an adult.
Hebrews chapter 12 talks about this. Let me start with verse 5. And this is the Modern King James. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For truly they chastened us for a few days according to their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now chastening for the present does not seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it.
Hmm. I often think about having, maybe there's some kind of a growth or a tumor on your body, and it might hurt to cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor has to get that rid of that. It's not going to be joyful. But once it's gone, you don't have to worry about it infecting you anymore.
Right.
It's the same type of thing. And this is the thing. I love the verse 10 right at the end. It says that we may be partakers of his holiness.
Right.
We are born into sin. We are born unholy, unrighteous. We need his holiness, his righteousness. This is the only way we can get through this world, really, unscathed, make it into a relationship with God.
And we attain this through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. We do. So this is really, that's an excellent text. And let's see, we were back in Matthew chapter 12.
You know, again, we hear these things. We read these things in the words of God's book, the Bible. Yet we so easily forget about it.
Mm.
And God is trying to work in our lives to bring us to salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And some of that is judgment by God.
Oh, it is.
In our lives and correcting us when
sure.
we need correction. And like I said, it's not joyous. It's not a good time when it's happening. But the rewards are great. The peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Yes. I have to agree, Ed, that in my life, it's made a big difference from where I was, say, 30 years ago and where I am now. Knowing and understanding, if you would have told me 35 years ago that I would be happy keeping the commandments of God, I probably would have thought, well, I see the benefit of the commandments, but no, I can't see that. But I am. I'm happier than I was, much happier than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
because I recognize that the things that he has given to me are for my own good. Our Father wants what's best for us. He wants all to be saved. I think so many times we look at it as God's looking for a reason to condemn me, but the Bible doesn't say that. He sent his Son so that we would not be condemned if we just accept him.
You know, it's interesting that word you just used, condemnation. I want to read two separate texts. One is John chapter 3, starting with verse 16, which most people have heard. This is the Modern King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. He who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in God. So Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn us, but to save us.
I think that people consider it condemnation because, well, he's pointing out things that I'm doing that God doesn't like.
Right.
Well, that's what he's supposed to do. That's how we are not condemned.
Right.
He has to point those things out to us.
And the next text I want to go to is Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 1. And again, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you probably have heard this before. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if we walk in the Spirit of Christ, in the Spirit of his Father, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is the law of God, will make me free from the law of sin that Paul talks about in Romans 7, where I know what's right, I know what's good, and I want to do those things, but I end up not doing them because of this law of sin that exists in me.
So again, it's talking about walking in the Spirit,
yes,
and the Spirit of the fruitage of the Spirit that
right.
we were looking at. And those, who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to have joy in their life or peace?
Right.
Right? Who doesn't want to experience those things? And these are love, joy, peace. Those are the first three of the fruitages of God's Spirit.
Right.
And the dominant one for God, God's dominant quality, I would say, is love, because he loved the world so much that he gave his Son.
Do you understand that the commandments listed in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, are commandments of love?
What do you mean when you say that, Ed?
God is looking out for you. He says, you know, if you want a good life, if you want a happy life, do these things. I know what's good for you. I made you. I know what will work best in your life. So these commandments are a hedge of protection. They're given out of love. They're given for our well-being on this earth.
You know, Jesus called the Ten Commandments, he called them the two great commandments, because the first four commandments are about serving God and doing his will, love of God. If I love somebody, I'm going to do the things that they want to do. So when God says, when Jesus says of God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, then we're not going to worship a false god or mm-hmm. bow down to images. We're not going to blaspheme his name. We're not going to defile his Sabbath. And if I love my neighbor as myself, then I'm not going to kill them or commit adultery or steal or covet or any of those things.
And you're going to honor your father and mother.
Absolutely. And I'm going to, so this is loving my neighbor as myself.
Right. You know, I don't know that we planned on talking about the law of God, but this is what we're talking about.
Sure.
So I want to go to Psalms 19.
Okay.
And I want to start in verse 7. This is the Modern King James, and it says, "The law of Jehovah, the law of God, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making the simple wise. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Jehovah are pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." If you understand the love that God has for you, you understand the love that he had in giving these commandments, therefore our benefit.
Absolutely. In fact, so many people, just 2 weeks ago in this program, we were looking at Jesus. They accused him of healing on the Sabbath and said it was wrong. So this is part of God's law, the Sabbath commandment. So when it says here, the law of Jehovah is perfect, why would I need to change something or do away with something that's perfect?
Right.
If it's perfect, why get rid of it? And then it says, converting the soul. Converting it from what?
Changing it.
Yeah, from a sinful nature to a righteous nature.
Yeah.
And so if I do these things, it's a beautiful thing.
It says making the simple wise.
Yes, it surely does. In fact, there's somebody put these words in the scripture to a song.
Yes.
And made a scripture song of it. And we sing this when we're together. Mm-hmm. Just a few weeks ago, I did a sermon called "The Law of of the Lord is Perfect." And we sang that scripture song after the sermon.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it gave some people that maybe have streamed with us a way, and I encourage them, write scripture songs. It's a good way to remember these verses.
You know, it talks about the fear of Jehovah in verse 9 is clean, enduring forever. The fear is not necessarily being afraid, but of respect.
Yes.
Understanding that God is our creator. He desires our happiness. He desires what's best for us. And that the judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. God's judgments are right. They're,
yes.
They're without guile.
They're
without deceit. They're without falsehood. They're for our betterment. And that they're more desirable than gold. Even much fine gold, and it's sweeter than honey. And so this is a very good descriptive way of talking about God's law, the benefits of it, and how good it is for us.
Absolutely. I think people, when they think of the fear, having fear of God, it doesn't mean we walk around in trepidation. It means we don't want to displease him.
Right.
That's all that means. It's not God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. When I wonder, you know, when God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day and Adam was running from him, that had to hurt God at his heart. But the reason Adam ran was because he was afraid because he knew he had broke God's law.
He was guilty.
Yeah. And that's what sin does. It makes us feel guilty. And how would we feel if we could have all of that lifted? And I don't, you know, I don't worry about those things. Well, that's the thing. If you have Christ in your heart, you're not going to sin. You're not going to do those things. Your relationship will be great.
Let me read a text from Psalms 119. I'm just going to read verses 9 through 11. If you want to learn about God's law, read Psalms 119. Verse 9. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. How can a young man cleanse his way? By reading the word of God, by paying attention to his commandments, by God writing his word on our hearts.
Being on your heart means that it becomes a part of you.
It's important to you.
Yes. Yeah. And so God says, he doesn't say that I have to do that. He says that he will do it. He will write it in my heart.
Yeah.
It's not.
What is the new covenant?
It's that law written in my heart.
Yeah.
And that was told in Jeremiah, wasn't it? In the Old Testament.
Right.
It was told that that would be done. It's amazing to me. The pains that God has gone through to save people.
You know, in the world that we live in today, in the, quote, Christian world, where so many churches and preachers and YouTubers say, oh, don't worry about the law of God. That's been done away with. If that's true, why is the new covenant, God's law, written in your heart and mind?
Yeah.
And people claim, oh, we're a new covenant church. We're a New Testament church. We're a new covenant Christian. I don't think anybody reads the Bible. They don't know what the new covenant is about. It's about writing God's law in our hearts and minds.
It makes it a part of who you are.
Yes. It brings about a change in your life. There's a song, I think it's by, I forget, Stephen Curtis Chapman, I believe. It's called The Change or Change, something like that. And he talks about Christians that walk around with a Bible, with a What Would Jesus Do bracelet on, a necklace around their neck with a cross on, a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. Then he asked the question, well, what about the change? Isn't this supposed to change you? What about the change that's supposed to occur? Where is it? Why isn't it happening?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's a different life. And I think that's why Christianity has such a bad mark upon it, is because so many people profess to be Christians, but they don't live like they're following Christ.
They don't let Jesus change their hearts and minds. They don't receive the Spirit of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to empower that change to occur. It's something that I can't do but for myself.
Yeah. This is why He sent His Son. God sent His Son so that it would give us... We have an advantage today that many people in the Old Testament didn't have.
So many people see Jesus as our Savior on the cross, which is true. Without His death on the cross, my sins cannot be forgiven. Yet no one sees the Jesus that came and lived on this earth as we lived. He was made in all ways like His brothers. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. That He had our experience. This is another reason Jesus came, that so He could have our experience. So we could, Jesus having been tempted, He can help us when we're being tempted. That He can help us in our time of need. And if you know the Bible, you know I'm quoting Scripture here.
Yes, you are.
And so we need the Jesus that died on the cross, and we need the Jesus that experienced life as we experienced on this earth, so He can help us in our time of need, to help us overcome temptation. Because let's face it, we don't talk about the devil maybe enough. That Satan's still going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. People don't realize it because that's all we know. We only know the sinful world. I had a friend that used to say, and the first time he said it, it kind of struck me. He said, Jesus came to save us from ourselves. Think about that.
Yeah.
Because inward, what am I? I'm wretched, I'm poor, I'm miserable, right?
Blind
and naked. Quoting Scripture again.
Yes.
So these are the things that I am. But Jesus came to save me from that, from what I am,
yes,
from myself,
right,
the sinful nature that I am. And so the only way that I can show that I'm a disciple of Christ is to follow him. And then what will he do? Even in this world, he can heal me from those things. He can remove those things from me. He can make it to where I don't want to do those things, like Paul, what we were reading earlier.
In this life, in this world that we live in, we're influenced by what we take in.
Tremendously.
Our ears, our eyes, our mouth. And we're influenced by those we hang out with.
Who are we around?
Spend time with Jesus.
Amen.
And let him influence you.
Yes. I just want to make a suggestion for folks. Some of us might say, well, I don't have time to sit down and study or read the Bible. I don't have, my life is so busy. You know, there are things on your phone, apps that you can listen to the Bible while you're driving down the road.
Sure.
You don't have to listen to the radio. You don't have to listen to worldly music. You can pick a translation and just listen to the Bible while you drive.
You know, I had a friend that would, that had a saying that people are going to do what people want to do.
Mm.
If you want to do it, you'll find time to do it.
It's true. What's important to you?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is really, that boils down to what's important to you in your life. Is it selfish things or doing the will of God?
Is your salvation important to you?
Mm.
Is eternal life important to you? Is those around you that you love and care about, are they important enough to you to realize that you need to change and that maybe your change can influence them as well?
So, yes, so true. I would say that most people listening to this work somewhere or have worked somewhere. Now, when you get a job, that job's important to you. That's your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't survive very well without a job. Your whole life revolves around that job. If the job says you've got to be here from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, you're there from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. So everything in your life revolves around that. Well, when I started following Jesus, I had to make some adjustments to my schedule.
Yeah.
And I had to make everything else work around my relationship with him. That seemed impossible, Ed. And it sounds really strange from a worldly point of view, from the world's point of view. But when you have a relationship with Jesus, you recognize the importance of doing the will of God, the importance of keeping the commandments, and that means all of them, including the Sabbath. And my whole life revolves around those things. And that's why life got better for me.
You know, I'm going to be doing a sermon coming up the next month or two. And I'm going to talk about the law of God. And there's so much negativity to the law of God. It's just mind-boggling. You have to understand what we're saying here. You cannot save yourself by keeping the law of God.
Correct.
But if we're saved by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and lives in our hearts, we will be keeping the law of God.
It will come naturally.
Yeah.
You will naturally do those things. That's what we're saying. The law doesn't save me.
No.
It's the blood of Jesus that saves me. But the law will certainly condemn me.
It'll be written in your hearts.
Absolutely. And you will naturally want to do them. And this, when you're hearing this for the first time, it might sound strange. It might sound odd. It might sound impossible.
All things are possible with God.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely. So keep that in mind. If this is an issue for some who are listening, I think it's an issue for all of us, let's be honest, pray about it. Ask God to send the Spirit of His Son into your heart to help you to make the right choices.
Now, when you say pray, you're just simply saying talk to God.
Yes, talk to Him. Ask Him. Tell him what He knows your weaknesses, but tell Him you recognize them. Ask Him to point out the things that you don't see
right
in your life.
David did that.
Yes, he did.
You know, in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is God working in us through his Son. Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure."
Mm.
"Do all things without murmuring and disputing, so that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Among these you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I may rejoice with you in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain," talking about his work in preaching the gospel.
Mm.
And so he says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
It doesn't say some, it says all.
Yeah.
This means that it's not impossible. It might seem impossible for you.
Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Now, stay with me. You need to hear the whole text.
I'm looking at this now. Okay. I've got it.
It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." You know, people are going to tell you otherwise. Don't be deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God."
Mm.
Now, this is the part you need to hear. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It is God working in us through his Son that these things can be accomplished, that these things can be changed in our lives."
That's the key, Ed, because it doesn't say here, it does say, "and such were some of you."
Yeah.
It doesn't say, "but you can keep doing this because Jesus died for you."
Right.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Notice what it says. If you do those things, you will not inherit God's kingdom.
Those verses that I just read, in some countries of the world, are being proclaimed as hate speech.
That's true.
And laws are being put in place to prevent you from speaking these words.
That is just hard for me to comprehend. I never would have dreamed that would have happened in my lifetime. And then it says, go ahead.
These are words of love. These are words of warning. Don't do these things. Get these things out of your life. And it can be done through the Son of God. It says, "but you are washed." Washed means cleansing.
Right.
"You are sanctified, made holy, but you are justified." All those things are done in the past, are no longer a part of your life. "In the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." It's not done by us. It's done by God through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And the key here, Ed, for me, and this is what I see so often in the Christian walk, is people believe, well, because Jesus died, I don't have to worry about it. No, it says you were sanctified, made holy, you said.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be holy if I continue to live in sin? I can't.
No.
There are relationships that we may have. Some may be listening to this who you might be living with someone and not married to them. What do you do once you realize this displeases God? This affects your relationship with him and his Son.
You have choices.
That's it.
You can change the status of that relationship.
Yes.
If you really love this person, want to be with them, get married.
And we're talking about a man and a woman.
Yes.
Let's be clear.
And, you know, if that's not the case, then separate yourself from this person.
Yeah. And it's nobody said this was going to be easy.
No.
Nobody said, this is why Jesus said that we would have to bear our cross, right? Do you think that was easy?
No.
No. If you've never read that account of what Jesus went through, read it. He's saying, we're going to have to go through similar things. We're going to have to go through similar things. Ed, we've got about 2 minutes left.
What we're talking about today, the world will say that we're crazy.
Yes.
That we're foolish.
They do say that, Ed.
Yes. That these things can't be done. Even Christians will tell you these things can't be done, but that's not what the Word of God says.
People have sat in our Bible studies and Prophecies of Hope Church and told us this is impossible.
You're going too far.
Yeah, but that's not what, I mean, we're just reading the words of the Bible.
Yeah. And we're trying to explain to you, to give you hope in your lives, that this is the purpose of the gospel.
It's good news.
To help us overcome in this world that we live in.
Amen. That's the key. This is, if you take nothing away from this program today except for that, that Jesus came here to help us to overcome. He will give us that power to overcome.
It requires faith.
It does.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for without evidence that they can occur.
Mm. Yeah, it's as Hebrews 11, isn't
11,
it?
11, verse 1.
And then it talks about the faith of all those patriarchs and prophets of old. And they have a special place in God's heart.
And Hebrews 12, the next chapter says, considering all these witnesses, you know, lay aside all these sins which so easily
entangled me.
Yeah, beset you. And look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm. Very quickly, what does that mean, author and finisher of our faith?
He had our experience. Mm. He suffered. He knows what we're going through, and now he can help us in our time of need.
Now.
Now.
Now, yeah, not later, now. He can help us now. He healed those people that we read about in Matthew 12 that day, right, at that time. He can do the same for you today.
And his words that he spoke healed people spiritually as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And that's what we will experience, that spiritual help today. We will experience physical benefits mm-hmm. from following Christ today, but we can receive these things in a literal sense for eternity. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the good news.
That's the goal.
That is the goal. Yeah. And so, Ed, we're actually out of time already. This hour goes by so quick. Thank you for this study. We'll pick up here in Matthew chapter 12 again next week. And I think we're at verse 22 is where we'll begin. So let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this study and these words that you've given to us today to look through these scriptures and just see how much you love us. Father, help us to make a choice, to make a decision, to choose Jesus Christ, Father, which ultimately brings us to you. Help us to make a choice, to make a decision. Help the listener, if anyone is listening here, I just pray that you will put it in their heart to have the desire to want to make those changes for you, Father. Help us to be obedient to your law, to keep your commandments, and to have the love of Christ in our hearts. Father, we just ask that you'll be with us until we come together again. We thank you so much for this time, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.